Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere in the nation on that free Odyssey app. And even in our backyard, you're worried about the reception, you go to the app, you got us digitally, works seamlessly with your CarPlay. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite app, your favorite podcasts. Let's just search the Rob O'Donnell Show. How's everyone doing on this Thursday, August 14th, 2025? We're on the down slope now of this week, 87 degrees. We will be talking about lots of stuff today. Lots of things going on. Some of it some follow-up to yesterday. Some of it not so much. I did see this story that caught me, and it's just not something I've ever done, and I don't know if it's because I live in rural, pretty real rural up on the Lackawanna-Susquehanna border where I don't think pretty much anyone delivers by me. But in the 22 years, almost 22 years I've lived here, I don't think we've ever had something delivered as far as food items go. And I know some of the local grocery stores, some of my neighbors that are older get it, where they have their groceries delivered. We could probably get that. It's just not something we do. That DoorDash or any kind of even fast food delivery where you used to just call the shop itself and they had their own delivery person for either Chinese food or pizza or whatever. They just never came to where I live. And they'd probably get lost if they tried. So we've just never done it. But this generation today, you know, my kids and such, that seems to be the way they do things. You know, they order things online at Walmart and it gets delivered. And my daughter-in-law even said, oh, I could have stuff delivered right to your house. They were away and we needed diapers for the baby. Next thing you know, an hour later, we had diapers sitting on the deck, which is, I guess, nice. But it's just not something we'd do. You know, if we needed diapers, you know, if we both didn't go out to get them or pack the baby up to go get them, you know, one of us would go out and get them while the other one stayed home. But Amazon is actually expanding the same-day grocery service to 2,300 cities. And it's sinking shares of rivals Walmart and Instacart and such like that. So this seems to be the way of the way things go. You know, I know, you know, my daughters, my son and his wife, they DoorDash all the time. I just don't see this. Why would I pay that extra fee to DoorDash, plus you're adding a tip, plus you're doing everything else, paying for the food, which you'd normally do? I guess times really aren't that tough and prices aren't high if this is the way things are going. If you're willing to pay almost double sometimes for things, regardless of the convenience, I guess you're really not doing that bad. And maybe it's just the way it is now, and they think that's just the floor price of these things. But you know, come on. I just don't see it. So let me know. I mean, my core audience is about my age and even older. Do you do DoorDash? Do you do this Instacart or Walmart instant delivery or now Amazon? Like we order from Amazon all the time, but you know, I don't have Amazon Prime or any of this stuff where – I mean, where my kids live in Virginia Beach, they order something off of Amazon, and it's at their house in an hour. That's how quick it is in some of these places. Now, I'm sure if I had Amazon Prime, I can get next day. But there's really nothing I pretty much need next day that I'm just not going to go out and get that moment myself anyway. So if you're different, if I'm missing out on something, let me know. If this is the way that the future is and it's just the way things are now where you just order Walmart Instant, I like to be in the stores. I like to see things. I like to read the packages. You know, even going into a supermarket, I pretty much know what I want, but I like looking at the different choices. Maybe if something else catches my eye, I'm going to switch it up last minute. I'm not also a big fan of you know, other people picking out and packing my groceries. If I'm at the register, sure enough, you could put them in the bag. If I'm doing that myself anyway, you know, that's a whole nother story, this self-checkout stuff. But I just don't get it. It's just not the way I was raised. And like I said, after we moved here 22 years ago, there was no such thing as we're going to order Chinese food and have it delivered. They just don't come to where I am. Same thing with pizza and such like that. And we've just never tried. DoorDash will do it because you're paying that extra premium. They'll go wherever you want because you're paying them to. And again, why would I pay twice the amount, if not more, for a pizza when I could just go myself and get it, or we could go there and eat it hot there. I also like the convenience of eating in my house, but you pick it up on the way home, or you go out and grab it, bring it back. You know, maybe you throw it in the oven for a little bit, heat it up to get it to where you want. I don't know. I just see this this generation is just a different breed, and I guess all generations are, and I'm just noticing it more now, maybe with technology. You know, technology really hasn't been around in our lifetime that long for people my age and older. So maybe this is just the way things are, to where, you know, you'll just talk into your phone and something will be delivered to you. And actually, you could do that now. I have those little smart speakers, which I won't say the name because it aggravates some of you when yours start going off. But you just tell it you need something and it'll deliver it. One of my smart speakers asks me, you know, we've sensed that you might be running low on this. Would you like to reorder it? No. If I want to reorder it, I'm going to go on my phone. I'm going to go into the app and I'm going to order it myself. I don't want you reminding me. But it looks like Amazon is expanding same-day grocery service to 2,300 cities. One of the things my wife does now that she likes, but we've had to go back to the store too many times, is she'll go online at either Weiss's, Wegmans, or any of these ShopRite, any of these grocery stores that we use. There's a few choices if she's at work. And she'll do her grocery shopping online. Somebody in the store will walk around, pick the groceries, bag them. It automatically charges your credit card for whatever the price, or your debit card for whatever the price is. And you just go there, you pull up, you give them your name, and they bring everything out, or you go in and get it and bring it out to your car yourself. But a lot of times, you know, some of the produce we've gotten isn't something that we would have picked. It wasn't in the best shape. Some of the things we've gotten as far as baby food items that we have our grandchild now have been expired. And those are things that we would check if we're in the store, especially baby food or baby supplies and such. And fruit and vegetables, you know, you really want to know what you're getting there. And quite honestly, I don't want some 17-year-old picking my fruits and vegetables. You know, I think that's something that should be a little more personal, right? I want to know how ripe it is. If we're not going to eat it right away, maybe you're getting a little more pre-ripe. So you have a couple of days with it, you know, with things like bananas and avocados and mangoes and stuff that we get for our house. So it just... interesting time, but let me know your thing. Do you take advantage of this Walmart instant delivery where you go on Walmart and they just deliver it right to your house? Do you take Instacart or DoorDash? Do you do these things? Let me know, because we just don't. So, and when I see my kids do it, when I hear about it all the time, well, I'm on FaceTime with my daughter and her doorbell rings and she gets a picture of her food sitting on her doorstep. And I don't care if it only takes you a minute and a half to get from wherever you are in your house to your door. I just also don't want my food sitting on my doorstep for any amount of time, nonetheless a minute or two. So maybe it's just me. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the way of the world and we got to change. We'll see. We've also been talking about this for a while, is this the changes coming to the Scranton meter parking. And the new hours begin on Monday. So make sure you know that. And there is a 20-cent surcharge now for using cards as a payment, either a debit card, a credit card, or whatever card you have attached to your system if you're using the app or if you're sticking it in the machine to do it. So I would imagine most of us are using some sort of card to pay for parking, especially if you're using the app. So they're kind of getting you for an extra 20-cent fee regardless. And if it was supposed to streamline things, if it was supposed to make it easier, if it was supposed to not have as much work to go around and empty the change out of the machine so many times a day because they were filling up, why is it more expensive? Why do they have to add a fee to it? Oh, because the credit cards add a fee to it. Is that what they tell us now? But they are expanding these parking enforcement hours in Scranton. That'll begin on Monday, so make sure you're aware of that. The change means street metered parking will be enforced for 2 additional hours on weekdays, with the enforcement window open from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Motorists will also have to pay a new processing fee of approximately 5% per transaction on parking payments made by credit or debit card to cover merchant costs. Though the effective date of the fee has yet to be announced, the fee will also apply to payments made via the Pango parking app. And again, merchant costs. Community Development Properties Scranton, a local affiliate of the nonprofit Grow America that operates the city parking system under a long-term concession lease, announced the changes. We knew they was coming, but they are taking effect on Monday. But this 5% per transaction parking payment fee, I guess they average it at 20 cents on most. I don't know how they figure out what you're going to be parked there for. It was interesting because when we were up at Lake George, a lot of areas max parking is only 2 hours or max parking is 4 hours. So we were at a parking lot at Lake George because we were going to get on one of the big ferries that take a tour of Lake George. We had tickets for it, and my buddy, you know, put his credit card in and hit max time, and it turned out to be for 12 hours. So he comes back with the ticket. He says, I guess we're good here till 9 o'clock tonight. And put it in the window. You know, we did the right thing because you do not have to put your license plate in those. So we were good Samaritans, and there was a nice family with two young kids, a baby and a two-year-old, it looked like, in the car from New Jersey. They had New Jersey license plates. And when we were pulling out, we took the ticket and we gave it to him and says, hey, this is good till 9 o'clock tonight. We don't want anything for, you know, enjoy your parking. You know, somebody might take advantage of it since we paid for 12 hours of parking anyway. So that was the max parking. So we were making fun of him the whole day that, you know, we had parking for the rest of the day. So new changes coming to Scranton. We'll see where this goes. In addition to this, you know, the Scranton taxpayer will be supplementing what was told to them and sold to them and billed to them as a financial windfall for the city of Scranton as far as this management of this parking authority. And now you're bailing them out with not only annual payments of 3 years, annual contributions to offset the $75,000 in revenue the Saturday hours were estimated to generate. It's interesting because when you had the people from Grow America at the hearing at City Council, they really didn't have any data or numbers or how much use their parking spaces, their garages were getting. He basically said he drives by and it looks like there's a lot of cars parked there. And that's not really the answer that anyone would look for in a substantial debate or informational hearing. But it's interesting how they figure out that they would get $75,000 in revenue if Saturday parking was there when they have no idea who's parking there now or how much of public parking it would be. How many people would park for hours? They had no enforcement because there's no data to show how many people would use those spots. And since they don't charge on Saturdays, how do they have an estimate or even a ballpark figure unless they did some sort of scientific survey to know these things, and they did not have any proof that they did any of that. So basically $75,000 that they think they're losing in Saturday hours was basically a guess. And based on some of their answers, I wouldn't even call that an educated guess. So listen, there's a lot to do in downtown Scranton. I'm not going to lie. I think there's plenty of great restaurants and bars and things. And just walking around Scranton, even in the winter when it's lit up for the holidays or in the summer during things and events that they have down there. You should be paying for parking, right? Parking is something that's done in every city across America, a cost for paying for parking. How this is managed, how this was mismanaged in the past, and how this was pushed upon the voters, not so much. So we'll see how it goes from here, and hopefully it ends up being a cost win for the taxpayers of Scranton. It's 3:22 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. Got a bunch of text messages coming in. Say, I'm going to be 60. I order from Sam's Club Online, delivery constantly. Also Home Depot and Lowe's sometimes for things I often use. Obviously also Amazon, but never would do groceries like that. We order from Amazon. You know, I order some things online from Home Depot if they don't have it in stock. But if it's in stock, I'm going to go see it and get it firsthand. Some other people said, Rob, Walmart home delivery is great. Use it all the time. It's only convenient that people do the shopping online. It's because people have become increasingly lazy, another person says. They don't even want to leave their house. For some people, it's a good thing. You know, people who have problems leaving their house or issues, it's not always about laziness. You know, if you're home with two small children, it, you know, might be too hard to pack everything up and go get another case of diapers or formula or whatever you need. Let me go to the phone now. We have Patrick from Lake Ariel on Instacart and Deliveries. Patrick.
Hey, good afternoon, Rob. Yes, I'm pulled over. I'm in the middle of actually doing Instacart and Uber, and I'm signed up for actually three apps and DoorDash. But I listen to you guys a lot on the radio, and I'm like, oh, he's pulled up a subject that I know about. So I figured I'll call in.
What's your radius? I mean, Uber. I think a lot of people take advantage of Uber for obvious reasons. I think that's a great thing. And again, that's more of a specific thing. But as far as Instacart, what apps are you involved? Instacart, DoorDash. Are there others?
I do Uber Eats, but I don't do the. I don't want nobody in the car, so I just deliver the food and do the groceries on Uber. But I have the option. That I could pick up passengers, but I don't feel comfortable with somebody in the back seat of my car.
Sure. Okay. How busy are you? Do you find a lot of people are using these things? Is it all age groups? Is it a younger generation? What are you seeing?
Well, I've been doing this on and off actually the last 6 years, and I just recently the last 9 months have gone more. Now I live up in Lake Ariel, so it's more rural up there. So what I have to do. Is I have to come to Dunmore Scranton area so that I can get guaranteed deliveries. Like I'm here during the day, I'm sitting over in Archibald now on a side street, and it's busy enough in this area. Over in Lake Ariel, it's hit or miss. So, I mean, I come over here to make the money. But honestly, in 90% of the people, we never even see. It's like you said, you leave it on the doorstep, you take a picture, and that's it. You know, sometimes some of them you hand off or... you need a PIN number and stuff like that, but 90% of the people we never even see.
Yeah, and with the grocery, do you go in and actually buy the groceries and package them and then bring them as well?
It's called Shop and Deliver. I do that on Instacart, and then I do that on Uber Eats, too. That's a lot of, right now, today, I've done all Uber Eats. I did do Instacart. Some of them are crazy because they'll have times where they want you to pick, like, 54 items and only give you $6. That's an hour's worth of work, less than minimum wage, plus then I got to pay taxes and gas. I don't take those.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you calling in. I mean, you've been doing it for how many months now? How long have you been doing it for a couple of years, you said?
I've been doing it on and off for 6 years, and it's perfect for me having health issues. I could pick and choose the days and the times that I want to do it. I mean, there are times I'm out till midnight. I'll pick 2 days and come out at, like, noontime and stay out to, you know, and then I'll shut it off for a little while and maybe get a drink or a bite to eat. And I mean, you get to pick and choose the ones that you want to do. Some of them are good. Some of them are crazy. You know, sometimes they want you to do three deliveries at once, and that can become a nightmare. But I'm thankful that some people are lazy because I'll tell you, 10, 15 years ago, this opportunity wouldn't have existed. And with me, I can, you know, pick and choose the days that I want to work around my schedule.
Friday and Saturday evenings, you think they're busier with people getting snacks or if they're drinking at their house, they want something to eat, they want a pizza, they want...
Yeah, pizzas and stuff like that. And, Burger King and McDonald's do a great job packaging, but some places, oh my God. Like they need to do. Like I just called the place out today. Like I need a cup carrier because I take it very serious. They're supposed to be taping the tops, and some people have it down. They do a good job, but it a lot of the businesses. Let me tell you, I was in places where I went to one place today, and I think probably 20-30% of their business. So the businesses are thankful for that because. It's adding a lot of revenue that they didn't have before, and they don't need to pay a delivery guy. You know what I mean? So it's a good feature for people that need it.
And is this what you do now? Are you retired? You know, what's without giving too many specifics, you know, is this your livelihood? Well, is this all you do? You're retired and doing this to supplement?
I unfortunately I've been dealing with cancer treatments, and no one's going to hire me because the minute. Yeah, so this works well for me, and I actually enjoy it. I get out of the house and talk to the people and get out and you know, again, I could pick and choose. I try not to do it, honestly, though, when it's pouring. Like yesterday when it was raining like that, I wouldn't take deliveries because it's just crazy. Some of these places that you have to go are...
Well, smart, you know. Yeah, smart decision on your part, Patrick.
Yeah.
I appreciate you calling in. Listen, keep in touch with us.
I enjoy listening to you guys.
I appreciate it. And keep in touch with us. Let us know how things are going, you know, as the economy changes. I'd love to hear from you from time to time.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too, Patrick. Good luck. And that was a great insight from someone who's actually doing the job. And I'm glad it's working for him. I'm sad that, you know, he's dealing with his health issues and going through cancer treatment. Hopefully he's getting the good treatment that he needs. And he said this fits into his schedule. He enjoys what he does. And that's a great thing. And to hear that side of it, yes, a lot of our restaurants, a lot of these entities are thankful for things like this because it is increasing their business. People don't have to go there. They don't have to walk in the door. They don't have to have a delivery person on staff and using their own vehicle and using their own car or paying somebody per mileage. So, you know, there's always been, as long as I've been a kid, I mean, there's always been delivery people. And when I lived in New York City, it was sometimes, you know, people on bicycles. You know, our local pizza place was up the block from us. They used to deliver pizza on a bicycle. You know, they had a teenager or young guy or girl. Chinese food delivery, again, another block away, used to deliver on bicycles, come up and, you know, bring it right to your door. So delivery has always been there, but this new, you know, technology that's involved now is running its course. So we'll see where it goes. It is 3:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Just an update in Dallas Township. They have closed Lake Street between College Manor and Elm Crest Drive. Heavy police presence is there. There was an ongoing police incident. They say there is no danger to the public, but just be aware that that area is closed. Avoid it. Lake Street between College Manor and Elm Crest Drive. So, again, avoid that area due to an ongoing police incident at that area. But they did reiterate that the community is not in danger. So avoid the area and you'll be just fine. I talked about this and I posted this on my social media a week or two ago. And it's good to see the local media picking it up because one of the victims that were ID'd was a King's College graduate. And two others, when these three 9/11 victims were identified from DNA, the medical examiner says Ryan Fitzgerald remains... were in the World Trade Center wreckage. And when the original story came out from New York that three additional victims were identified from 9/11, I had posted that and said that, you know, that's one of the reasons why we meticulously and combed through that area to collect whatever we could to help bring closure to families, to help. It doesn't bring them back, but it helps close that chapter to where there's a final answer. They know for sure, just not, you know, we just don't know. We assume all probability is, but now we know for sure. And having worked there for so long and being part of collecting those DNA samples, when I see stories like this years, decades later, it helps justify the risk we put ourselves through and are dealing with now, health-wise, because it's still bringing closure to families here. And here, right in our backyard, this is Ryan Fitzgerald, a 1997 alumnus of King's from Floral Park, New York. Barbara Keating of Palm Springs, California. Remains of another adult woman who were also identified, but her name is being withheld at the request of the family members. Fitzgerald, 26, was a foreign currency trader working for the fiduciary trust in the World Trade Center when the attacks occurred. Keating, age 72, was returning home to California after visiting family in Massachusetts. So it just goes to show that you know, right here, people in our backyard still finding closure, or that attended here or have connections here, still finding closure decades later because of the meticulous and nonstop work that the detectives did down there, collecting the most minute samples, test tubing them and placing them to categorize them to get them in a database, knowing that in the future technology would advance to where if we couldn't identify something then and there through modern testing at that time in 2001, you know, there would be the ability moving forward to do that. And then with the opening up of genealogical sites that have tracked family members from around the world, you know, it's just opened up that database. And I believe that's how these were identified, where it was, you know, public sourced people wanting to know their history and their background and their genealogy that helped identify these individuals because there were matches. And then once they found a match, they were able to investigate and pursue those matches. It's 3:42 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 3:44 here, 88 degrees on this Thursday, August 14th, 2025. So, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent on Wednesday urged central bankers to issue a half-point cut at the next month's meeting. Breaking from his zip-lip stance on the Fed's monetary agenda, is half a percent even enough? At this point, they could justifiably do a full percentage point, and it would probably bring us still below where we need to be as far as rate reductions, because it should have been done at least three or four times already. Bessent said that the central bank's target rate should be at least 1.5 percent points lower than it is now. Thankful what I just said. I think we could go into a series of rate cuts here, starting with 50 basis points, which is a half a percent rate cut in September, he told Bloomberg Surveillance on Wednesday. And I agree with that. It's better to creep into it half a percent here, and then if you need to do another half a percent, or if it's justifying based on those numbers another full percent, then you do it then. If you look at any model, it suggests that we should probably be 150 to 175 basis points lower. And if you look around the world to other economies, they have already lowered their interest rates three and four times. The U.S. is the only one that has not, which has raised all the questions and the turmoil. And is it done purposely? Is it politics? Is it just, who knows? Whatever it is, it's not in the interest for the American people, because I don't think anyone would disagree that, I don't care if you're a Democrat, an independent, a Republican, socialist, whatever you are, you could deal with a half a percent or a percentage point or 1.5% lower on any interest you have as far as loans go. That would make a huge difference as far as someone purchasing their first home, make a huge difference in auto loans, small business loans. Central bankers kept interest rates in a target 4.25 and 4.5 range after their July meeting, even as President Trump ramped up pressure on Chairman Jerome Powell and dissent festered within the Fed committee. One of the times that they disagreed with each other as far as rates should have been lowered or not. Bessent argued that the Fed officials might have slashed rates in July if they were aware of intense downward revision in the labor market data and were released 2 days later. And again, brings you back to accurate numbers. The fact that jobs numbers are coming out on a monthly basis, but they need to be revised on the second month after that every time. Well, maybe we should just traditionally do them bi-monthly and let them lag by a month anyway. Wouldn't that be better practice? Wouldn't that have more solid numbers? Rather than giving numbers, good or bad, for whoever the administration is, because this happened under the Biden administration, it happens under every administration, to where these numbers get revised either up or down 2 months after the original numbers come out. So let's wait 2 months. Let's have a bi-monthly lag to where your January numbers aren't coming out till March. Your February numbers aren't coming out till April, instead of that month, to where they need to be revised anyway. That would be good practice. That would be common sense, but government doesn't work in common sense. You know, they're talking about maybe making it biannually or once a year, these job numbers. Well, I don't think that's good either. I think waiting for 6 months for job numbers, you know, plays has you playing either catch up or where you could have celebratory moments that help the economy that are delayed because you waited so long. And annual, I don't think works either. So if every second month we're revising these numbers, let's just wait 2 months to begin with. Let's start there. Let that be the basis and see where it goes from there. And let's get the proper people in the proper positions that can ensure why. We still haven't heard that, why these numbers are so off, both up or down, because they've been both ways. I looked at the past 5 years' history of the jobs numbers, and there's really no pattern or rhyme or reason. Now, you can make assumptions, but that's all they are. So let's get real answers on to why these numbers are so off so often. And in the meantime, let's wait 2 months for these numbers to come out so they could be more accurate. They're not going to be perfect. There still should be minor revisions. But let's try and take the major impact out of it to where they're not even worth believing anymore because they're so off. Or you don't have to point fingers because or accuse someone of doing it purposefully or not purposefully, or they're inflating the numbers or deflating the numbers. But I do think we deserve a rate decrease, and it should be substantial. It should be at a minimum a half. And like they said, it should be 1.5 at best. It's time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 354, 87 degrees outside on this Thursday, August 14th, 2025. Let me go to the phone now. We have Elle from Wayne County on jobs, Elle.
Oh, I'm so glad you took my call. I used to listen to WILK on the weekends all the time because they had some really good things that they air. And one is called American Radio Journal. And this last weekend, I think it was, August 10th, yes. They had Loman Henry on, and he was talking about the jobs report. And I said, oh, I got to really listen to this because I am very curious why these reports are so off. And he said that the jobs report, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is BLS, they create the statistics about work, unemployment numbers, et cetera. President Trump ended up firing the director. He mentioned that. And then he said that we're about 330 some million Americans, okay? And then he said there's 121,000 businesses, and they only get responses of about 60 of these entities. And the different amounts can depend on how many respond to these asks, you know, when they're asking for the results of the survey for the statistics. Now, this was very curious, I said. He said, because there was two people talking, Loman Henry, and I don't know the other guy's name. I don't have his name. I'm not sure his name. And they said the only thing that they can come up with that maybe would give more accurate statistics because of people not really giving them the information they need would be to look at payroll surveys instead of responses to the asks or the results. And then they also talked about there's entities like ride sharing, YouTube influencers, food trucks. And he said it's not clear who's accounted for and who's not. They could be getting a lower response back on surveys because of not knowing. And then even the tiniest mistake can be off substantially higher or lower. So they're looking into the reason that this is all going on. So I enjoyed it. If you can try to see if you can pull it up or anything on American Radio Journal, and it was August 10th, this last weekend.
When they dive into it, they seem to be able to correct the numbers on the second month. So that's why I make it bi-monthly to begin with, so you can do that deeper dive.
They didn't think of that, though, Rob. Maybe they didn't think of that because they didn't mention that.
Well, if some guy in Northeast Pennsylvania radio is thinking it and they're not, then they're not doing their job. So that's scary.
Well, I don't know where Loman Henry is based out of. I'm not really sure because on the internet, he's American Radio Journal. So I'm not really sure where he's based out of because I don't remember him ever mentioning that when I was listening. But like I said, I used to listen to this every weekend because there's very important things that they discuss on the weekend. And, you know, the average person, a lot of people, they'll listen Monday through Friday, but they don't listen on the weekend.
The data is there because for new employees, I mean, I understand 1099 employees who are independent contractors, it's a little more difficult. But, you mm-hmm. know, anyone who's applying for a job and working for a job has to fill out an I-9. So they should have a database of who's how many I-9s did they have. You know, for this month, that's new employees that are starting positions. And again, it's not everyone. It's just a person who's working as a regular employee for a place.
Well, so, see, this was their idea that in the future they might start doing this payroll survey type thing.
Yeah.
Right now they're not doing that. They're only taking the people that actually contact them and give them results. So if you've got
well, they can make it mandatory too, like the crime data that goes to the FBI. Once they made it voluntary, most of the major departments stopped doing it, and this is why all their crime data is skewed now. Make it mandatory reporting. Did you hire anybody? Did you fire anybody? Unemployment's easy because you can get that from the states because they have a uh-huh. database on that.
Right.
But I mean, employers, it's not giving them an extra burden. They have the information already. It's just a matter of reporting it properly.
Well, I mean, when you have 130 some million, okay, people, and then there's 121,000 businesses and only 60 people are reporting the results, this is how this gets off the wall. They don't have the statistics that they need because people aren't doing it. So that makes a lot more sense why this is fluctuating and it isn't accurate. So they are looking into it, though, Rob.
I'm sure they are. Now that people have been fired, I'm sure a lot of people's looking into it because their jobs are at stake. It's funny how that happens once your job's at stake. But when you think you're home and comfy, you just do the minimum. Elle, I appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you.
It's coming up on 4 o'clock hour here on WILK News Radio. We will be back with the second hour. I got some phone calls waiting. We'll get to them. We'll see you in a bit.